Today is the 29th of October 2006. We begin today the lesson number 4, Less One and Sufficiency. Before we begin the lesson, we recite the name of the Buddha 3 times.
Namo Bonsu Thich Ca Mo Ni Phật. Namo Bonsu Thich Ca Mo Ni Phật. Namo Bonsu Thich Ca Mo Ni Phật.
Now we start this lesson. Less One and Sufficiency. Less one, we only understand that. Less one means that we want less. We don't want too much. That's easy to understand. And sufficiency means that we know what's enough. That's easy to understand because the Chinese word is quite a stray. But when I try to find the English word, it was a little bit difficult. So we say less one and sufficiency. This is a way of practice in Buddhism. Not only in Buddhism, but a lot of other religions. In fact, all the religions will teach you about that, one way or another. Introduction. Poor and rich people all want more. Greed is bottomless. Buddha taught us to want less and to know what is enough for peace of mind. Easy to understand, right? Poor and rich people all want more. Of course, everybody want more. Because greed is one of the basic instincts of the human. When we were born in this world, we have greed, we have anger, and we have ignorance. Greed, means that we want more. Greed does not mean that we have to do anything, but greed just means we want more. Like we want something, we want more. We have something, we want better than that. Like you have a laptop, you want something, gamer, right? You have a PSP, I want Xbox, X360, right? So you want more, everyone. You have a Dodge Neon, that's good enough. Now you want a Corvette. Cool, right? So poor and rich people all want more. Poor people, of course, they want more. Usually. Some people don't want, but that's something we talk about later. That's the basic instinct of people. Greed is bottomless. That is, when we want more, we don't stop there. That's easy to understand, right? If you have $100, that's good. You think that can save $300? And I can buy a PSP. Good for me. And then some guy will come up with the X360 and then say, Mama, try to give me that or I will work for you. I will mow the law. I will do something like this to get more. But basically, greed is bottomless. That is, we cannot stop. We don't stop. See, that's the reason why people who are wealthy keep on making more money. That's true. Because sometimes we say that if I have $1 million, I can put it in a saving or buy some CD or market, I will retire. But a lot of people, after they get $1 million, they don't retire. That's true. So most of people like that, and they want to earn more. So greed is bottomless, not only about money. We're talking about money, but also about fame, about other stuff. Property or fame. If you are a congressman, you want to be a senator, and then when you are a senator, you want to be president of the United States, right? You don't stop. The Buddha taught us to want less and to know what is enough for peace of mind. Because the Buddha knows what is the cause, the root of suffering. That is, if you keep on wanting more and more and more, we cannot stop anywhere. So if we know how to stop, we will be happy. We will have the peace of mind. That is. Now, we go to the main subject. We have 3 parts, right? Introduction, main subject, and conclusion, any other lesson. Definition. To want less is to want only needy things. To know what is sufficient is to know what is enough. Easy to understand, right? To want less is to want only the needy things. That is, we have to want something. Because we have to eat. Human, cannot rest nor fast for a long time. Of course, if you go on a fasting strike, you can stay fast longer. That's the will. That's the problem with the will. That's different. But usually, you cannot fast long. If you don't have enough food, if you skip a meal, you might feel hungry, or you might feel dizzy, or you might not be able to concentrate. You have to have something to eat. That's normal. But then to want less is to want only needed things. If you're hungry, you need something to eat. That's right. That's normal. To know what is sufficient is to know what is enough. That is like, you know, you're hungry, and then people give you some food to eat, or you buy some food to eat, you eat enough. But then, you know, you don't say, oh man, there should be this kind of cake now, oh, there's also a new kind of ice cream, I have to try this. Although you're already full, you try to buy more and eat more. That's not good. Or, you know, sometimes you stop it, if your friend invite you, he pay the meal for you, say, I can get more. You can debar and things like this, that's not good, right? So to know what is sufficient is to know what is enough, when to stop. What do people want? Now, what do people want? Buddhism, you know, teaches that people have five wants. Of course, you know, all the religions teach you differently. But basically, you know, they are about the same. The five wants in the Buddhism, they say the wealth, the attractiveness, the fame, the food, and the sleep. Basically, you know, most of these are like material things. One, the fame, you know, might be like more spiritual. The wealth. The wealth means the money, the properties, the thing you own. Not only the material things. All of them know wealth. Of course, you know, wealth is something which makes us feel secure. The psychologist, you know, so teach us that the wealth, the money, the property, you know, is something to make you feel more secure. And if you don't feel secure, you are not happy. You worry sometimes, especially the old people. When old people know they don't have enough money, they don't have enough savings, they are very afraid. They are afraid of who will cut the Medicare off, or will I have enough money from Social Security to survive? Yes, they do worry about that. You're not old yet, but sometimes you get old, and you feel about that. So money, you know, is not bad. Property is not bad. But the way, you know, we want more is bad. Because when we want more, what do we have to do? You understand already, right? We have to devise the rules, some tricks, you know, or some hawks, or some scam, you know, to get more money. Because truthfully, you know, if you just go to work, like, you know, you go to McDonald's or to Burger King and work, they pay you the lowest minimum wage, you will not get rich. You cannot get rich from that. So sometimes, you know, you sit down and say, man, I work like a slave. How can I get rich? And then you read in this paper, they say that, oh, you can flip house, you can do that, do this, to get more money. And then you start to do it. So basically, you know, the wealth, the money, the property, the ownings, you know, is not bad. But the way, you know, you get it will become bad. And if you want more, you will start to think bad. You will have, you know, to try to do some things, to get advantage from other people, to get more money, more property, more wealth. So the one, you know, the wealth, basically, is the money, the property. If you just want to be richer and things like this, you know, sooner or later, you know, we have to devise something. It's like, you know, you're playing the stock. You don't know yet. Most of you don't own stock yet. But whenever you grow up a little bit, you know more about that. Stock is just like playing cards, truthfully. See, because some people lose, some people win. The people who win, you know, get the wealth and get the money from the losers. And that's the truth. So if you have a house, you want it to be bigger. You have to invest more money in it. And if you just work for it and try to build it up, you have to work two jobs and three jobs. And if you don't have enough money and you still want it to be better, you have to think about something to take advantage of other people. So the one, the wealth and property. The attractiveness. Attractiveness, sometimes, in the original, you know, they say something about the form. But form is too vague. Attractiveness is more concrete. That is, we like the beauty. Most of us, you know, like the beauty and hate the ugliness. If you go and watch these movie star, and some singer, and you try to take up after them, you try to become more attractive. Attractive, you know, attractiveness, not only, you know, try to attract people, but the beauty and the sex. That is, if you read the magazine, you open the magazine, you see all the advertisement. Usually, you know, they don't advertise, they don't use the modern as the ugly people. Now they know there's some, like the Fruit of the Loom, they start, you know, to advertise, you know, with fat women. Excuse me, but that's the truth, right? They call them natural human, normal women to advertise. But in the time, you know, they never use that. They must use the slender women or attractive and then handsome men. But people never question that. They advertise, something, a cream to make your skin smooth. And you see this woman, you know, her skin is really smooth. Why does she have to use it anymore? Right? Or, you know, slander people like this, you know, and then they advertise for Slim Fast, but she doesn't have to use Slim Fast. Right? They have to advertise for a fat woman to use it, but they never use it because they try to attract people. That's something you learn in business classes. The cover of the magazine always show attractive women. That's true, because if you show a person with the cover of a pretty woman and of an old man, serious or whatever, people know will look at the pretty woman more. They have studied that, and they know that these attractiveness beauty sell. So then, you know, they try to attract people. And the Buddha teaches this is the basic instinct. And if we are attracted to him, and we try not to lure people from the beauty and the sex only, sooner or later, you know, we get fake. We become fake. We are not truthful with us anymore. And then, you know, we might be unhappy, be sad when all these, you know, will go away. Because we just learn about impermanence. A boy, a girl, you know, doesn't stay young and forever. Someday you get old, you get wrinkled. If you are attracted to the attractiveness, you will follow the false things, fake things only. And then later on, you know, when you wake up, you'll be surprised. And then you will suffer. So attractiveness and beauty and sex, that is natural, what people want. And if you want to make money, you try to learn from these two. Later on, whenever you devise something, you follow this, because these are the basic instincts of the people. What do people want? Attract them with that. But that's not bad, good. Fame, power and position, of course, you know, everybody wants. Fame, you know, is attracted to the self. Whenever we realize that we have a self, an individuality, especially you young guy, whenever you become teenage, some people, you know, before teenage, you know, they start to develop the self. The self means that this is natural. This is, you know, something to conserve yourself. In Buddhism, we call them the seven Vinaya. You remember? Or you don't have know yet. But basically, you know, we have eight consciousness. If you study the Theravada Buddhism, that is, you know, what they call by the basic Buddhism, I mean the old Buddhism, they teach that human has only six consciousness. But Mahayana, or the great vehicle, we teach that human person, you know, have eight consciousness. And the seventh consciousness, the mana consciousness, is the self. That is, you know, as long as you are alive, the self is present. When you die, the self disappears right away, completely. When you die, it goes away, it disappears completely. But people don't realize that. So as long as they stay alive, they try not to promote the self. This is the instinct. That is, you know, a need, for a basic need for you, because you want to conserve yourself, to stay alive, to stay, you know, competitive in the world. You have to affirm yourself. But Buddha, you know, taught us that the self is impermanent. It's not real. So if we cling too much to the self, we will suffer. Why? The self, you know, will induce us to the power and the position, the fame. Because if you have the self, and then your mom, you know, or your dad can tell you, kid, go to sleep, and now you're 14-year-old, 15-year-old, you don't want it. First, you know, you cannot reborn, you say, yes, mom, and then you go to bed, and then turn off the light, and then pick up the phone. Right? Talk with your friends, suddenly. Or some kids, you know, might even, you know, open the window and sneak out. Right? So, yeah, something like that. They start to revolt. They try to affirm the self. But that was the wrong way, because in that case, you know, they don't have communication with their parents. But now, you know, if you understand what is the self, what is it really, you know, you understand it. Like you see, in that case, you know, most people are ignorant, so we don't know about it, so we try to affirm the self. We go to class, we want to be number one. We want to be first. We don't want to be last. If we do something, we want to be better than other guys. We have a house, the grass is always greener than... So you want to have something more. Your house is good enough. And then, you know, suddenly, you see the neighbor, you know, fix the house, put some thing like this and that. You go home and say, Mom, I think that the tile they put on the kitchen, you know, better than this linoleum, you know, you put on. or they have a new microwave, which have cool features, things like this. Now, of course, everyone has like an LCD TV, right? Widescreen, right? And then HD, if you can afford it. So then, well, you want more and more. The fame, the power and position mean that, we start to affirm yourself. And then a class, some people will volunteer for some work. That might be good. They might not, have anything about self-promoting. That's good. But if they start with the feeling that, I try to do this because I will put it down in my CV, so later on when I go into the university, go into college, I will put down in my CV that I was this and I was that and I was this and I was that. So I get bigger chance and you get something like that. That's different. Affirming the self, the power and position. Of course, you see, because of the power of the position, people will try to do nasty things. Now we are in the election, right? In the election season. So you see all these nasty things, they say one about another. You didn't hear about them, like 6 months ago, right? Or a few months ago. But now suddenly, you see that this guy, is bad. This guy doesn't do work. This guy, has two wives. This guy, take money from that. Suddenly, you hear all this stuff. Because they want to smear each other. So they get better. So the fame, the power, and the position is bad. You see, because they try to do that. And after the election, they will try to smile again and then shake hands. I congratulate you. This is like a joke. But you see, they don't know that sometimes that make all the people suffer. Because whenever you want to be number one, the guy who is number two or number ten will not like it. They might not say it to you, tell it to you, but then they suffer. So, the power and the position, the fame, you understand that, right? This is basic instinct. That is, you want fame. And whenever you are a scholar, especially in a school in front of other kids, you will hate the teacher. you don't say it, but the food and the sleep, these are the material needs. Of course, we need food. We need food. If you eat, and then you know what's enough, that's good enough. At lunch, you just go and try to get some lunch. You go and get some like Big Mac or something. You eat, and that's enough. But now, if somebody asks you to eat more or to go to another party, you can say, oh, thank you, another time, because I'm full already. That's good. Sometimes you say, oh, can eat more. Sometimes just to please other people. But sometimes because you just want more, you think that the Big Mac is not enough, it's not good enough for you. And if you like food too much, you go to the party and to selfishness. Selfishness, what? Why? I explain. Because eating, normal people, and most of the kids eat normally. You learn at school, the teacher taught you that you have to eat the different kind of food, the pyramid of food, how much of each kind do you have to eat, good. But then some people will start to love food too much. See? If you like, say like most people like chocolate. That's true, because they have made the study and they know that most people like chocolate. So if you like chocolate, it's all right. You eat once or two candies a day, no big deal. But then, if you start to be choosy, I don't eat Hershey, I have to have a Godiva. Oh, things like this, right? Or I have to buy something. Oh, and you say, my uncle, he went to a trip, and they would get some kind of special chocolate from Italy. And they were really cool, really renowned. They make it only special for some people. And you have to long for it. That's a different thing. That's obsession already. Now, the selfishness come from there. Also, some people, whenever they eat, they start to think about other things. And that's weird. I talked about that before. You remember? About the Chinese people, old Chinese people, they believe that if they want to have strength, they eat the paw of the bears. So then they try to catch a bear and cut the hand off just to eat it. And they think that made them strong. Strong enough, I don't know. But then you see they hurt a lot of animals and a lot of sentient beings too. Or you see on the TV, they show that in Africa, some people just kill the gorilla just to cut the paw and then sell them to some Chinese people. If you like this food, you become crazy. Or some people, you go and then they say that, well, you want to be strong, you want to live long, you have to eat the feet of the duck. No big deal, right? But you remember I told you about that? They put an over the hot plate on, and they put a live duck on. No, not only one, but a couple of them. And of course, you know, the duck has to jump. It's too hot. And then their feet will become all swollen from blistering because of the heat. And they like it because they think that all the blood, you know, will flow into the feet. So then they cut these feet, you know, alive like that and eat them. See it? If you think that I eat one hamburger, that is only one part of a beef. So then, you know, it takes me like 3 months or 4 months, you know, to finish one cow. Big deal, right? Yeah, you have to kill something to eat. If you start to think like that, you have to eat on these, you know, duck feet or the shark fin, you start to become like a whale. Selfishness will come from that. Because you like, you think that, you believe that, you know, eating something, you know, will help you. And you'd be surprised to read in these books, old books, you know, that people even eat human flesh. They think that, yeah, they become strong. Some people weird. That's the truth. I just want to tell you because that's the truth. We are not that kind of savage anymore, right? Sorry about the word, but savage, you know, is like that. If we try not to eat like that, we are savage. We are like animals. Animals eat other animals. They don't think about anything. But human, we must use our mind to think. Do the less harm to all the things. That's the best thing we have to do. So, then the parties. Of course, you know, if you like food too much, some people like parties. You will grow up, you're still young, you don't go to party yet, but you're 18 years old, and then you start to go to party. And then you see suddenly, you know, something new. Now, I was like a monk in a monastery. Now, I can have a good time. I can stay late. I can have happy time. I go to Louisiana, to Mardi Gras. And then one thing to another, and then you don't sleep anymore. And you start on this stuff. You have a good time. Once in a while, like, you know, Christmas is no big deal. But then, you know, if you get used to it, if you have to party every night, you become bad. And you can't work. You cannot do anything else. You remember like Lindsay Lohan? You know her? Singer, right? Yeah, she was called by the producer because she was late at work. And the reason was that because she was at the party. So you know about that, right? It was in People magazine. Yeah, you read them, you know. Okay, so selfishness, food, party and selfishness. And one thing to another, you start to, like, and if you go too much to this party, you waste your time, you waste money, of course. And then, you know, you start to feel bad. Because whenever you see poorer people or people, you know, who work for them, who make a living, you start, you know, to look down on them. And that's not good either. You see that the same change. So your mind change. That is the reason why, you know, the food, if you just eat enough, that's good. But then, you know, if you start, you know, to make them, you know, like a living, that's not too good. Sleep, dreaming and laziness. Some people, sleep mean that, you know, you are in the stupor all the time. This does not mean that you just go to bed because you are tired. Of course, you know, you have to go to sleep. If you don't go to sleep, you have a bad reflex and become like a... Now you go to school, they teach you that you have to go to sleep because your theta wave, you know, your brain will go into the theta wave 5 times in the day, right? You learn that at school. That's enough. Now, before, we didn't understand that. We have to say 8 hours or 9 hours or what age, you know, you have to sleep that many hours. But now, you know, basically, scientifically, you know, as long as your brain wave, you know, go into the theta 5 times, that's enough. So then they start, you know, to devise on these kind of machine to make your brain go into the theta wave 5 times. You don't know that? You learn more about that. Basically, what I mean, you see that sleep is a basic need of human. That's true. But then when you start to stay in bed too long, just sleep, and then don't do anything else. The monk, you know, they have to wake up early in the morning to do the morning recitation. And if they stay in bed, say, oh, it's too cold, 40 degrees now. No big deal, nobody see me. So I stay in bed more. That's not good. Have to stay up. And if you kids, you know, you stay up late, you know, you cannot sleep enough. Or is this in contrary, you know, mean that sleep too much? Because some people don't like to sleep also. Some people don't like to sleep. They want to stay late. Because why? Because they can use their brain for all the stuff. But some people, especially people who don't have too much things, you know, they want to sleep more, because when they sleep more, they dream. And when they dream, they live in another world, in a different world. You have heard about this parable, about this guy, you know, who's very poor at daytime, but at night, you know, when he goes to sleep, you know, he becomes king. So they start to live in a dream. And in fact, you know, people daydream also. That is the reason why you have all these fiction books. You read on this fiction, even science fiction, but something, you know, you just make it up. You write down some poem. This is dreaming, because you want to escape from that. You long for something else. But that, you know, we talk about them later. But basically, sleep means that you are not staying in the real world anymore. So, dreaming and laziness. But in Buddhism, you know, besides these five ones, sometimes, you know, you have heard about, especially from the Theravada monks, they say about the five different ones, the form, the sound, the smell, the taste, the touch. These are our five senses. Form, what we see. Of course, you know, we say like the pretty form, good form, you like more than ugly form. The sound, good sound, we like better. So that's the reason why, you know, we start to get attached to them. Like, you know, I know when I was young, you know, I liked all this kind of music. Then I bought, you know, on these, in the time, you know, there was no CD, no cassette either. It was only a small things, you know, they call them 45 rupees PM. And before, you know, my dad, you know, has all these 78 rupees PM made up like carbon. You can break them easily. And then, you know, whenever you want to listen to them, you have to put one needle in. And then after you listen one disc like that, you know, you have to throw away the needle, because the needle will become worn out. Or some people, you know, who are very like very parsimonious, they try, you know, to fire the needle to make them work more. Because you remember in the time, you know, this disc, the big disc like this, you know, hold only one song. And if, you know, the needle is worn out, the song, you know, will become like not hearable anymore, not audible anymore. I like, you know, these, and then I try to collect all these discs from this singer. But nowadays, you see, and nowadays, you know, you have the same thing. Some people, you know, collect all these CDs. Or, you know, like you guys, you know, sometimes, oh, I don't have enough money, and go to BitTorrent, and then to download for free, right? Yeah. Who else don't do that? This thing, you know, the whole world do. So, but then, you know, you try to get in touch too much with them. Get attached to them. And in that case, how can you do any of the other things? You can talk about, you know, this singer, or that singer. But besides that, you don't have anything else. So the sound is like that. The smell also. Attractive. That's the reason why, you know, people devise on these perfumes. You see them all the time. The classic people, you know, I mean the old people, you know, go, oh, Chanel, White Shoulder, Madame Brochard. The younger people go like from J. Lo, from J. Lo. So all this smell, okay, the smell, you like the good smell and you hate the bad smell. The taste and the touch, of course, you know, all these are the sense. And if we get attached too much to the sense, of course, these are the ones. We just want a little bit. If you smell bad, you have to use some deodorant. But if you have to become too choosy, like, you know, no, I have to use this guy, not that guy, or some designer thing, that's not good. So what do people want? These are five ones, five basic ones, the five basic instincts. Now the danger of excessive desire, that is, you know, if you want them too much, what can happen? Of course, you know, we have talked about it a little bit. So the loss of self-control, of course, you know, because if you like them, we want too much money, too much wealth, too much fame, too much beauty, you know, we will lose the self-control. We will try to do something. Now, like you see, some people say that if you want to look young like that, you have to do the exercise of the face. That's all right, you can do it. But then, you know, some people say that you have to do the massage of the face. You know, these Korean people, they do things like that. I don't know what to do. And pay them money. That's all right too, they have money. But then they waste a lot of money. And then, a little bit, you see, oh, I have some. Look at this, look at this. Oh, no good, I have to go to the doctor, get some Botox, because I want to look young. Or then, you know, and start to see something shrink, I want to pump it up. A lot of things. So lots of self-control. That is, I can't control me anymore. I have to get attached to my face. If my face looks like that, I want to stay, let it stay like that forever. We have learned about it last time, right? About impermanence. We have to be realistic to realize that thing change. We will get old. If you don't realize that, well, we will suffer because we will try to hold it back all the time. So, loss of self-control and the root of evil doing, that is blame others or deception. Blame others, like, if I have to go to work, right? You go to school and then you go to college and then you get some job with the city, and then they pay you like $50,000 a year. No big deal, but that's good enough. That make you survive. But then you say you go home and then you want to have some like a cardiac or something like that. You can't afford it. And you start to think, how can you do it? I can't get stuck with this. And why? Okay, because my daddy, my parents, they didn't leave me a good heritage. You see? You start to blame on others. Like, you know, my parents or my dad, you know, he just, you know, worked for something. He didn't give me good money. He didn't give me enough money. So, oh, her dad, you know, he was better. He was like, you know, filthy rich or things like this. So try to blame on others and not us. Okay? Because if you want more, if you know that's enough, that's enough. But if you don't want, you start from first thing to blame other people. And then, you know, to deceive people. That is, you know, to try not to get more money from it. To get more fame, to get more attractiveness from it. Like, you see, if I won't need more money, what I can do? You see, a lot of scam, of hoax, right? You start to do, okay, you guys know about computer, you can go on, you know, and try to get the credit card number from other people. Okay, you go to jail, right? But then, you know, some guy do that, or some guy, you know, just, you know, start to do some bad things. Like, deception, other things, like, you know, okay, you know, on this machine they sell, I told you about it last time, right? That is, say, like, you use this machine, they make you stay younger, they make you stay, like, a thing of this, this. And then instead of $50, they sell you for $500. Why? Because this star, movie star, will say that, well, she used it, and then it make her look like this. And then you believe in it. You see? So these guys will deceive you. You don't know that. But they get money from you. If your case, you might devise these things too. Deceive younger. And anger and killing, of course. Start to, like, you know, if you want more food, and then, you know, if other people have more food, you become angry, you can kill all the people. The fact is that sometimes, you know, in these countries in war, you see on this video, you can kill people, you know, for just a little food. Because other guys, you know, have food, and they don't have it. They have the guns. Just kill people for that. And then anger, of course. Now, if you get fame, and then all the guys, you know, is more famous than you, you start, you know, to blame them, to try, you know, to smear them. Like we just say, right? If you just invent things, or you say, oh, he's not good, oh, he's not, you think that, you believe that, he's not that good, you think, oh, just, you know, to make the other guys feel bad. Anger and even killing, of course, you see the war in all the world. It was because of fame, because of power, because of wealth. All of them. They can, you know, put anything on it, like, you know, religion or something like this. But basically, you know, it's about their own power, their own self. They don't like people. They like themselves only. So, because if you really like people, you don't kill them. The way to counteract excessive desire. So, we learn about the basic things, the five ones. Now, how do we do to counteract them? One less and know what's enough. That is, you know, what we learned about it today. Since we already talked about it, we can go faster, you know, from this part. First, sixth greed is bottomless. The more we get, the more we want, right? That's what we call by bottomless. The more we're unhappy, which is suffering. So then, you know, if it's bottomless, we cannot be satisfied any time at all. Like, you see, if you want more, like we just say, you have a Dodge Neon, that's good enough, because your dad, you know, when he was at high school, at college, they just had a bicycle. But now you have Dodge Neon, that's good enough. But then you think that, these other guys, you know, he have a different car. So you think that, well, it's a sport car, it's better. So you feel about it, you like a Corvette, good, get a Corvette, if you can afford. And then after you have Corvette, what do you think? Will you stop there? Forget about it, you like a Ferrari, right? Or Lamborghini, ooh, cool. These are like, you know, $500,000 or $700,000 each. And then you like them, or Mercedes, you know, with the wing, you like them. And then you have one, say, this other guy, I want to collect them. And then you have two different cars, or three different cars. And some guys, you know, I watch it on the grips, right? Yeah, you watch them. They have, you know, like five, six, seven cars. Or like Jay Leno, you know, he have a dozen, you know, Harley Davidson. He collect them. So now he has money, he can do it. But then, you know, if we don't have the means and we start to do it, do you think that we will suffer? Yeah, we will suffer, right? Because we just want that and this. So the more we get, the more you want, the more we are unhappy, which is suffering. Like you see that, like, you know, the fame, the beauty, we want us to become beautiful, right? So I buy this cream to put on before I go to bed, I put on that mask, I go to the beauty parlor, I go to the nail salon, and I don't go their own world. But then, if I can, I do it, then I have, you know, to get attached to it. Or if I have too much money, you know, I will hire these people to come to my house, you know, and do all this stuff thing for me. And then, you know, I start to realize then later that, well, although I have done all this stuff, I still get older and older, right? If I stop, you know, doing it, doing the mask and thing, you know, for a couple of days, I look into the mirror and I see all the wrinkles. So, the more we are unhappy, because I cannot pull back the time, I will be unhappy and I will suffer. Buddhism and Confucianism taught us to be sufficient, not to look up, not to envy. So you will ask right away, but then we answer that question later. That is no. So if you say that you don't look up, you just go to high school and then you stop there. Don't go to college, right? That's enough for you. Or, you know, if you like your food, you don't like too much food, just eat your lunch. Just have, you know, your rice every day. That's it. Don't buy anything else. Don't go to like the restaurants. Or if you just, you know, say that, well, you just need a bungalow to live in, a hut to live in, just live in there. Why do you have to buy a big house, you know, 2,000 square feet or 3,000 square feet like this, with all the new features, right? So why do you have to want it? We answer about that later. Now, you know, not to look up, not to envy. We must know our means. Like, you know, if you go to work, like I just told you, you earn like $50,000 a year. So that may like a $4,000 a month. You have to pay the mortgage, to pay for the car, to pay for the food. You have like $1,000 left. And now, you know, you start to go, okay, I need to go to France to Paris, you know, for the vacation. Now, try to be more realistic, right? Or you say, oh, it's cheap now, no, go to Las Vegas, they give it to you free, take air ticket, free stay. Go over there, but then you play in this casino, and then you lose more money. So then you be realistic, that is, know what is your mean. Like, you know, before, you remember when I worked in the hospital, there was some nurse aide who went to work, you know, with a good Corvette. Of course, you know, he can afford it because his family is rich. He doesn't even have, you know, to work as a nurse aide. But then, you know, he worked. But I see that, you know, all the guys, all the nurse aides, you know, are not really pleased with him at all. They work like hell. They can never afford it. And when he show up like that, you know, all the people say not to look up, not to envy, and not to make other people envy for you. Because you see, whenever, you know, you try to look up, to envy, that is, you know, to want more, you know, beyond your mean. You have to do something bad for you, or something not right for you. You cannot understand within your mean and do it, right? Nowadays, you know, you can, but you have to devise something. Like, you know, see, you want to go to Paris, or you want to, like, you can do it, but, like, you can rent it instead of owning it. Some people like to say, I want to have a motorhome to go to this and that, you know, for a week or two. And then, you know, if you want to buy it, it costs you like $200,000. That's silly, right? But then you can rent it like for a week. So you just go with and then you give back to them. If it's in, within your means, it's all right. So leasing, you know, is good also. Like, you know, you just use it. If you don't use it anymore, give back to them. But not to look up, not to envy. That is, you know how to live within your means. If you live within your means, you know, you'll be happy. You'll be peaceful with you. Buddha said the wealthiest man and the poorest without one are equally rich. That's true. The richest man in the world and the poorest man in the world, but without one. If you are poor, but you don't envy other people, you don't look up too much, you just say, okay, that's enough. He has video I bought, right? I have only a SanDisk, small like this, but well, this MP3 player, I can listen to FM, that's better than his, and it's cheaper, right? Of course, you know, his look cooler, but then, you know, well, my MP3 player plays also. So if you stay with your mind, you will not be unhappy. So shaping our life is our mind. Rich or poor, only temporary. If we can control our desire, we are rich. If we cannot, we are only poor. That's very good. Shaping our life is our mind. Rich or poor, only temporary. Rich or poorness, wealth, fame, and things, all these are impermanent. Learn about it. Everything will go away in this world. We learn about it also, right? We were born and we will die. 50 years, 60 years, 100 years, 120 years, but that's the maximum. Nobody lives beyond that. And we live. When we were born, we didn't have anything. When we leave, we don't bring anything with us at all. Even the famous. Some people can praise you. Some people can insult you. There's no big deal anymore. You're dead. Right? You'll be dead. And then even, you know, if you look up, you see that this world will go away. We're talking about that. Even, you know, the whole solar system will go away in 5,600,000,000 years later. That's due to the cosmology. We have learned about that. Whether you like it or not, you know, it will go away. Whether, you know, this earth, you know, is polluted or not polluted, you know, we have the fame, we have all this stuff, you know, we have more toys than the other kids, we will go away sooner or later. But we have to realize that we are still alive here. So we have to survive. But after that, you know, don't make other people suffer because of our need, of our want. So shaping our life is our mind. Rich or poor is only temporary. So you remember I told you about Diogenes? Diogenes is the Greek philosopher. You know that? You learn at school, right? Diogenes, you know, he lived in a broken jar. You know a jar? Like, you know, a big, made of clay, a broken one. He just, you know, lie under it, you know, to cover from the sun. And then his only belonging, of course, you know, besides his clothes, I think, must, you know, one piece of cloth, is the bowl made of clay to eat, you know, and to drink. He can eat with his finger, but he can drink only with his bowl. And then one day, you know, he saw one boy, a little boy, go, you know, to the stream, and then he scooped the water with his hand, with the palm with his hand, and then drink it. And then he say, oh, he smashed his bowl and say that I don't need it anymore. That's extreme, right? The philosopher. But then he teaches about what is needed and what is not really needed. So you see, if you go to your house, you see all these things you don't need at all. You'll be surprised. Like, you know, when I bought the house, it was empty. Big garage, the whole, you know, all these, you know, rooms. And now, you know, even the garage, you know, is filled up and my car is outside. And when I open the garage, what I see? What I see? Junk, right? All this stuff, you know, which are not supposed to be there anymore. You can throw them away, but somehow, you know, we want to keep them. So that is the reason why, you know, we must know that shaping our life is our mind. Try not to cling too much to these things, because the more we cling to them, you know, the more we'll be unhappy. If we can control our desire, we are rich. If we cannot, we are always poor, because we cannot stop the world forever. The benefits of less one and be sufficient. Desire begets suffering, of course, because now, you know, like, you know, I want to stay young forever, to stay pretty forever, I cannot do it. I want to be strong forever, I cannot. I get old. I want to be wealthy forever, I cannot. So less one and sufficiency bring happiness. Now if you don't want too much, and we know what is enough, bring us, you know, a peace of mind. And the peace of mind is a happiness. Wanting less makes the loss of desire impotent. be sufficient, make the monster of greed powerless, that is to kill the greed and the desire. Because if we want less, we don't have no too much desire. So they cannot control us. Like you see, if you say that, well, your MP3 player is good enough. Now if they advertise, there's a new course, no video, we don't care about this much. I have enough, I can play with that. That's good. That's not backward thinking. But that's no when to stop. Be sufficient, make the monster of greed powerless. When with your greedy, people will try to hold you by the neck, because they will control you. And if you are not slave to them, well, they can do anything. Once a person is freed from the slavery to material things, this person's mind is liberated, thus becomes qualified as grandbrother, brother of all things. Because according to Buddhism, we have the mind. Truthfully, we are like the grandbrother, that is, the big brother of all the living things in the world. So, are we really qualified for it? If we just act like an animal, if you eat like an animal, if you act like an animal, if you behave like an animal, we are not fit for it. So if we look up, that is, we look up spiritually, we know what is good enough and when to stop and love on the sentient beings, this person might be liberated, thus become qualified as grandbrother of all things. Since time immemorial, no philosopher and religious founder fit to that name has not disdained material wealth. Any religion teaches the same thing. You don't see any religious teacher or founder, very wealthy. And in fact, when they are attached to the wealth, when they are attached to the fame, they will become dead. You know Osho? O-S-H-O. He's good. He's very good teacher. And he teaches all over the world. His name is Ranishas, Banish Rawan. But the people know him by the name of Osho. You can look up on the internet. He still have a lot of followers. He was very good teacher, very good follower. He teaches about Buddhism, about Confucianism, about Christianism, Judaism. He teaches everything, and people like it. People like him a lot. American people, German people, everyone in the world like him. He was good. He was like an old Indian guy with nothing. But he teaches good. He practices it. And then, when the fame comes, he starts to go around and teach everywhere. And then, some people start to give him the community in Colorado or somewhere, in the West, I don't remember much. But then, someone give it to him and then say, you are the founder. Now, we follow you. We go to your community. People start to go to his community and they start to sell their stuff and give it to him. Now he owns like a 30 Rolls Royce. Can we imagine that? We have one Rolls Royce, we can, so he can get more money, right? But then, he gets 30 of them. And then what happened, The IRS, went after him and he was kicked out, he ran away because he would be in jail already. He was a good teacher. Nobody said that he wasn't. You have all the stuff, guys do. You have all these stuff. So then if you are good, try not to fall into these traps of wealth or fame. Because if you realize all these are only temporary, what goes up must come down, right? So, okay, wise people in the United States always say that. So you know that. Our presidents, they were there 4 years, 8 years, and then they have to go down. So the same thing. Also peace to family and society. So then, if you don't get attached to this material stuff and you know when to stop, you are happy and you don't make your family, and the society suffer. Now the question, does such teaching impede progress of humanity? Of course, because you say, then, you don't have it, you can fly on the plane, now you want to go faster, and then you want to go to the moon, and then you want to go to the stars. You have to, because this is progress, right? If you stop, how can you do progress? If you have wealth, if you have money, if you have 100 bucks, 200 bucks, 1 million bucks, you can do something. But then, if you want to build a plant, to make all these SUVs, to have more money, right? So then you think that all these wealth, all these material things, are linked to that. Buddhism says that don't get attached to this, you see. That's a little bit wrong, because the Buddhists never say that, you know, you don't eat. You don't have a self. You do have a self. You still have yourself until the day you die. But then, you know, don't promote it too much, because you know that if you do promote it, you will hurt all the self. You see, that's the problem. So if we realize that, that is what we call by the middle way. Buddhism teaches less one insufficiency to hold back human greed, never teaches abstinence from material world. You see, even you know the monk, you know, must eat also, right? They must have a cloth. So then, you know, if you practice any religion, Buddhism especially, you know, you still have to eat, you still have to sleep, and you still have to make some money to survive. But then, you know when to stop, not to run after everything. So this middle way provides us with peace and happiness while letting us and the material world sustain each other. That is the middle way. That is, we know exactly when it is enough, when it is sufficient. That's it. When you're full, you just say, thank you, I don't eat anymore. That's easy, right? But some people cannot say it. Or you have like, you know, 5 clothes. Some people have like 10, 20. But you know when to stop. And then, you know, you have to do the spring cleaning. The old thing, give to all the people. You can buy new things, of course. But not, you know, gather everything like me, see? Everything. So conclusion, to avoid suffering, people must know own capacity. That's easy to understand, right? Because if, like, you know, if I have only this kind of capacity, this kind of wealth, I don't expect too much. If I expect too much, you know, I will suffer, because I will not get it. For lasting peace on earth, each must practice less one and be sufficient. That is, you know, if we do practice it, we will not make all the sentient beings, human or animals, you know, suffer because of our wants. That's all for today. Now, before, you know, we stop, we will give this back, you know, to all the sentient beings. Nguyện đem công đức này hướng về khắp tất cả đệ tử và chúng sinh đều trọn thành Phật đạo.